It's the motherfucking Millennial Media Podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha Podcast. I'm Millennial Miha, and you are here right now with me in the park with the amazing, the incredible Ashley Garcia, entrepreneur,
chingona.
What else? What are all your titles?
Stop it some more, baby girl. Stop it some more.
Hey there, I'm Ashley Marie Garcia. I am the founder of Brown Girl Travels. Baby girl, thank you for having me on your podcast today. I am so happy to be out here with you in Pleasantville.
Right?
It was definitely a vibe. Also, thank you for like sharing your every step of the way. Like,
you're thank you for listening. I know you have been so like one of the most supportive people on social media. Like, the moment I put out my shirt, boom, you bought it. Like, the moment I post something, you're like, you always reply, and it's really just, you know, I think that there's this misconception on social media that so many people are friendly. Like, there's this idea that there's like this whole sisterhood movement.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm gonna tell you right now that that's not really how it is.
No, I
like
get that.
There's not a lot of support. I mean, I think there is in theory, but in practice, you're somebody who really just practices it, and I really appreciate that about you. And that's not the only reason why I have you on the podcast, because you always reply to my Instagram stories. That's not the only reason. But the real reason is because, you know, the first time we met, it was just like this electricity between us. Like, me, you, and Steph was just like this creative, just little, I don't know, it was like a little explosion.
Yeah.
Shout out. Remember that day?
Shout out to Steph Rides for bringing us together. I walked you guys into the Broad Museum.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how we met.
For the Soul of the Nation exhibit. And I just remember seeing you and Steph. You guys were so magnetized, like, over the whole exhibit. And I was like, yes, these girls are vibing it. These girls know it. Like, this business, this is with it. And then you came out to my burger spot. And that was it. That was it. It was game over.
Where do you work?
I work at the Walt Disney Center. That's what I do, you know, to pay the bills. But Brown Girl Travels is my bread and butter. That is my heart and soul. Yeah, you know what? Don't even worry about work. Like, I'm trying to get out of work right now. Yeah,
That's not me.
That's not any part of my identity. I'm really, like, struggling to, like, create a foundation right now that is just my own, not dependent on somebody else writing me a check so I can pay my bills every month. So I think that's, like, a mental thing that I've been dealing with a lot lately. I just kind of moved out of my apartment in Koreatown back into the neighborhood, Highland Park, where I grew up in.
Hey, shout out Highland Park.
Shout out HLP.
Highland Park. I'm right? So proud. I feel like I'm from like a couple different places, because I moved around 8 times before I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I have spent so much time, but one place that was always just like a central location was Highland Park for me growing up. And then I lived there for 10 years on my own. Like, that was my first apartment. And, you know, it just feels like home. I'm so glad you went back.
It is home. I don't know, I grew up there, and, you know, of course I've always loved where I came from, but like after living in K-Town for 4 years and then coming back, like after the whole gentrification thing happened, and now being in the community and like actually seeing the ramifications of everything that's going on, oh my god, it's got me feeling some type of way.
Girl, driving down, you should have seen there. Okay, there was a car next to me. I was driving down Figueroa. There was a car next to me, and they were, because I have very big reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned my music down, and I was like looking around, and I was like, what the fuck?
Same.
This.
Fucking same.
Because, I mean, there's never been a period of my life where I haven't, you know, driven down there, but you would see it like, okay, one little yoga spot will pop up, or like one little, another little coffee shop that's like a little too over-decorated, and you're like, definitely signs of gentrification.
Yes.
But then you still have like the panaderia or like the botanica, and like you're like, okay, my community's still here. There's barely no community left on Figueroa anymore.
There's a whole block of Figueroa that's just like overtaken.
Mm-hmm.
And like you walk by that block and it doesn't feel, if you feel foreign. You feel foreign in the neighborhood that you grew up in. And
that's
it's like I feel some type of way. How do the women with their children feel when they're walking down this street and there's people smoking cigarettes outside of the Highland Park Bowl, you know, just blocking the whole ass sidewalk, having conversations? That shit irks me so much. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And then like if you, I was looking at some girl for, I was just looking at her like, what kind of like, what are you doing here? She looked just like a foreign I don't know, she like she was like a white girl, but she just looked so like misplaced.
Yeah.
And she kind of just made this face at me like, what are you looking at? And I wanted to be like, bitch,
yeah,
what am I looking at? What is you doing here?
Yeah.
What is you doing here for me to be looking at? But yeah, I think it's like there's this is a huge conversation. I actually am working on a whole episode about gentrification, because when I was up in San Francisco with my friends Dion and Conrad, they took me to this place in the Mission District that was like this place where there's like an alley where there's a lot of art, and I didn't know nothing from nothing, but I knew that what I was looking at was, you know, gentrification, but I guess it didn't have the same effect on me because that wasn't my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but I could see the, like, just the color ran from their faces. Like, yeah, they were disheartened in a way that was like, I know that look.
You know that pain.
Yeah.
It's definitely a pain, and I think being back into the neighborhood now, I'm realizing that these retail spots that are now overrun by these coffee shops and these barber shops, that when I was young, they used to be full of families and community, and it almost feels like, why isn't that still a thing? Why did we lose these whole buildings? And it's like a wealth issue. It's a wealth issue. And what do we know about like really buying business, buying blocks, buying buildings, and owning whole ass properties? Like, we don't know nothing. And like, I love that you're like, actually, I'm working on creating a little zine with like information on how to like save your finances, maybe gather together and together like buy back these blocks.
Yeah, like a co-op.
Yeah, co-ops. Like me and my friend Renee Rodriguez, shout out Laws of Track, baby girl. She's been my best friend since fourth grade.
Aww.
Grew up in Frogtown together. And like she's on the same plane of like, why aren't we like buying spaces together? Because that's what's valuable right now is space, and like that's what we need, and we need to like be sharing the resources with each other. So like,
that's a beautiful way to use your craft, which is zine making, right? That's yes. How this all started.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so that's a beautiful way to use your talent to distribute knowledge.
And yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Brown Girl Travel, what Brown Girl Travels is, and how it started?
Okay, so Brown Girl Travels is a publication for women of color who travel. It's created to not only share and highlight these stories, but to create documentation and preservation of these stories, because I realized at some point that there wasn't really much representation for us in the travel community. When I was little, I never thought that traveling was something that I was gonna do. I never thought it was something for me, that it was something that wealthy people did, and
yep, same.
And I grew up, and I realized that wasn't the case. And I don't ever want my 5-year-old niece. Well, she's 7 now. She was 5 when this started,
yeah.
But I never want her to grow up and think that it's not for her. So I created Brown Girl Travels for her. And yeah, baby girl.
What's her name? Shout her out.
Mia Angel Saldana, baby girl, I love you.
I'm so excited to share something with you soon. I have a poem from a little girl that I'm going to share with you that's going to melt your heart.
Oh my God,
continue
yeah,
telling
yeah.
us.
No, thank you. And so when I created it, I was just going to tell my own stories of traveling solo and my experiences. And I realized at that point that it needed to be bigger than just my stories. And so I created invited more anybody to be a part of the platform. 24 women responded to my like outcry, and they were like, I want to be a part of this. They shared their stories, their drawings, their poems.
How did you publicize that opportunity for them? Like, you put it on Instagram?
Shout out to Instagram, shout out to social media, shout out to like community. A few other girls had posted my call for submissions, and then people were like responding through them, and hey, my friend sent me this, or hey, my friend tagged me in that, and I would like to share my story. And you know, I created an email, boom boom boom, and soon my inbox was just like filled with all these like these stories, and like it was just so beautiful. And the book was only supposed to be like a small little zine, like a 4, 5, 8 page zine. It's 112 pages. And I did not want to cut anybody out, so like I put every story in there, I put all the pictures in there, I made it happen, and it was all fully funded like by me, you know. I wanted this to happen, and I made it happen. You know what? Let me show you it.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I brought you a little something.
Oh, my gosh.
This is for you.
Thank you. Okay, the wrapping is like everything, okay? Please show the people. Gifts are my life. So this is, can I open it now?
Open it now, yes.
I'm going to. Oh, Sage, first of all, I love you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I see you in your videos, I know.
I want to know everything about this logo. And I also wanted to request a coloring page, because I love coloring.
Shut up, shut up, I should have brought you some.
And I was like, you know what, that's what I want, is a coloring page.
Oh my God, that's funny.
That's just great branding for
you. Yeah, no, it is. And like a lot of this, it was created for the kids.
I brought stickers for you too.
Oh my God, yes.
You bought your shirt, shout out. You brought your shirt and I didn't have the stickers yet. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't add them in there. But this is a coffee. Oh my gosh, it's so big.
Yeah, it's a book. It's an actual, it took me a solid year of my life to like put that together.
Thank you so much.
Everything was created like from the ground up with love and intention. I had to like learn InDesign for the first time all by myself. I didn't know any of these things. I didn't know how to create these business cards, you know? And like you said, like you're learning everything firsthand and you're sharing these steps. And I think that's important because we didn't learn this in school.
Yeah.
We don't know these things.
Enterprising.
And like, yeah, enterprising, right. Entrepreneurship, and like branching out and like creating these fundamental things, like business cards.
Yeah.
Like
the fact that was like a puzzle we had to solve.
A whole puzzle that I was like, wait, how do I get the logo onto this thing in the background? Like,
can you read the dedication?
Oh no, oh my goodness. I read this actually earlier when I was wrapping it and I cried in my house. Like, I was like, baby girl, I can't believe I wrote this for you.
Okay.
Dedicated to Mia Angel Saldana, my favorite little brown girl. One time you asked me what a dedication page was. I explained. You asked me if I ever wrote a book, what I dedicated to you, and I promised that I would. Auntie never breaks a promise. Auntie also would have never gotten this far without your little face to inspire me to dream bigger. Baby girl, I poured my heart into this book for you so that you grow up never doubting how far you can go. But if you ever do, know that I will always have your back. Love, Auntie Ash.
Okay. Pause.
For tears.
Okay, you know what? And see, the reason why I have everything you post, and I went through your Instagram just so that I can, like, just fawn over more reasons why I love you, but, like, I love that you're, like, one of your most recent Instagram posts is a picture of a little girl that you saw in the Highland Park.
The farmer's market.
The farmer's market, right?
Yeah, oh my God, her name was Frida, and, like, I fell in love. I was just looking at her little keychains. I was like, oh, look, these are cute. I had my niece and my nephew with me, and she popped up out of nowhere, and she was like, oh, yeah, I make them. And I was like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, I make all of them. And she started pulling out these little hats with her little designs on them, and I was like, oh my God, you're like 10. She was like actually 12, I think. But she was so little, and I was just so inspired by her wanting to do this, and her mother was side by side with her, like, yeah, she does it all. Like, I'm just here to support her and just here to help her. And so I bought a few keychains from her.
And like, did a part of you see yourself? Like, did you see who you could have been if you maybe had like some type of like guidance in that moment, or like, you know, because I think when those of us that are entrepreneurs, we've always been this way.
Always.
But we didn't necessarily have resources or anybody to, or even because encouragement is a resource.
Yeah.
You know, and so some of us didn't have access to that early on. Mm-hmm. And so we were told really basic shit like, well, just stay in school and, you know, eventually good things will happen. But it's like, I have an entrepreneur spirit. So
yeah,
I'm not going to school to learn how to be a worker. I'm not a worker.
Exactly.
So, like, when I saw that post, and then just the combination of, like, hearing this, it was really, it's all aligned. And so, I want to share a poem with you. A friend of mine, his daughter, her name is Quetzali, and she memorized this poem.
Hey, you Latino, yes, you, who they call Spanish, Hispanic, Mexican, you, the one they yell at to go home. Tell them who you really are. Hey, you Latino, tell them you are the air, land, water, and fire. These words flow from your mother earth, the warmth on your face from father sun. Hey, you Latino, tell them to pronounce your name correctly. No, it's not Leticia, it's Leticia. No, it's not Alexander, it's Alejandro. Hey, you Latino, tell them that your ancestors built the Great Pyramid of Teotihuacan, the mathematical concept of zero. It came from our people, our Raza, the Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecas, the Boricuas, second to none. Hey, you Latino, you're the people of the corn, the spice, y los frijoles. You're the people of the the moon, the sun, y las estrellas. You're the people of the past, the present, y el futuro. Hey, you Latino, eres de colores, you are of colors. Cantas de la madrugada, you sing at the daybreak. Tantas posibilidades, so many possibilities. Hey, you Latino, tell them to step off, because this is our land. Nuestra tierra, brown by choice, proud to be la raza.
Baby girl. Oh my god, my heart.
Can I get your reaction to Kitsali's poem?
I need to show that to my niece. Like, she needs to see how powerful you can be and like how much pride you have and like, oh my goodness, and to be like so strong with your identity at that age, you know, here on this land, like we
I was excited to show you specifically that poem because Kitsali is like, so she's 8 years old. And she's the daughter of a good friend of mine and also a mentor named Dr. Cruz.
Yeah.
And just, I feel this, like, connection with her. This, like, because when I hear her talk or just this poem, just the way she read it, my dad, if he were to have heard, when I was that age, like, I wanted to do everything I could to impress my dad. And my dad really taught me a lot about the Chicano movement. So, like, I see myself so much in her, and I love that your book is dedicated to a young Latina, and I love that, you know, this message of Brown Girl Travels is not just it's not just an Instagram thing. It's like a movement. It's part of this like dream that you have for all brown girls. Can you tell me more about that?
It's definitely a community thing, and I'm so happy that you're bringing this up because it's all full circle. I'm actually creating right now something that I'm going to be handing out for free to people that want to have them. These little like envelopes for kids filled with like little things and trinkets that they could use to inspire them to travel and see that it's for them. And like little coloring pages, like you said, and little stickers and cutouts with airplanes and just little things. Because I think at the end of the day, like this was all created for the community. And if I'm not doing community work, like, I don't want to be about it. Like, I'm, you know, this is what the work is. And especially now that I'm back in my neighborhood, like, I want to give back to the people that are here with me. So I'm working on that. I'm working on the zine to like get the finances going. I'm also working on having more events that are community related. Kids can come out and zine make or whatever, and little pop-ups. Yeah.
There's a saying that says, if it's inaccessible to the poor, it's neither radical nor revolutionary.
I definitely live by that because I'm thinking about that. I'm doing all these things and like it's fun. I'm creating these stickers and I'm creating these merch. I just got the travel bags. But like, what does it mean if it's not accessible to the people that I created it for in the first place?
Say it, girl.
So, you know, like I watch myself and I always make sure that I'm doing something that is giving back to my community and the people that it was created for. So everything that these little like projects that I'm going to be doing, they're all going to be free. I'm doing it out of my pocket to just give back and do what I can. And I'm really hoping that the community will be about it. Yeah.
And see, when Brown Girl Travels, like this to me means I have never gone anywhere other than this one time when I was 14, I went in a mission trip to Ecuador. But I went with like this like white church.
Yeah.
And so I had this experience where I don't think that was the outcome that they desired, because I came back and I didn't believe in God anymore, and I didn't even go back to that church.
Yeah.
I didn't even on the way back from the I wasn't talking to anybody on the way back there from the airport. Like I had completely disassociated from the entire trip because I was treated really badly. And then I was also given an ultimatum in a moment where I was being pulled in the direction of a friendship circle and the dance and by this little indigenous girl in the jungle of Ecuador. And I was grabbed, like, one, she has one hand, and then this guy, the pastor, grabs my arm and is like, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to dance with them. And he said, no, you're not. Nazarenes don't dance. And I said, well, I guess I'm not Nazarene then. And I did.
Yeah.
But I set the tone for the rest of my life, and I danced anyway.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that was when I renounced all of that.
That's actually really beautiful.
And that was my experience. And yeah. So it's like, that was really my only experience I've ever had with traveling, because I've never really had the means to go anywhere. But I, what I like about your publications that we talked about last time is you were talking about one aspect of it is like helping brown girls figure out the finance part of it, or how to do it on a budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm definitely always trying to find ways to make things affordable. I was telling you earlier, I went on a solo day trip to Santa Barbara, and it was literally $50 to get there and get back. I have a few, there's a few like articles written by other women in this book, and they tell you how they personally saved up and everything. Money is something that is hard for me to do, because I'm an impulsive, like, oh, I've set aside $200 from like a month, I'm gonna just buy a ticket and go somewhere. And so I do that. But like, what I really been focusing on trying to help is helping people travel with anxiety, because like, I suffer from major anxiety, and it's always been a major issue in, first of all, actually getting out and traveling. Like, I don't know, I went to New York, and going to New York was my first time on a plane. I went by myself. I stood with someone I hadn't seen since first grade, and like, I just went. And on the way over there, I was like, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I doing this? I questioned everything, and like, I had a breakdown in the plane between, like, I'm sitting in the middle between these two guys on a red eye, everybody's passed out, and I'm just like, am I gonna like make it down? Like, I gotta go back.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just had a breakdown. And so I realized that probably prevents a lot of people from traveling, and it's prevented me from wanting to like travel outside of the country sometimes, because I just get irrational fears.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing that I'm finding things that help me, like lavender essential oil.
Yes, lavender all day.
My lavender oils are everything to me. My jasmine oils are everything to me. Something that grounds me. Sometimes I have like a little bag of sand for no reason, but I feel like it's grounding to me and that I can hold on to it. Warm, furry things. Sometimes I take monos with me, actual little like teddy bears with me on a trip, just because I'm like, you know what? I've had that since I was 5 years old. That's a safe object. Like, yeah. I wear my V-Hand with me. My mom gave me my V-Hand. Whenever I get scared, I hold on to it. And I bring up these things, these touches, these smells, these things that will help us, calm us when we're traveling. And then also how to prepare for them. Like, when I went on the plane, it was my first time. I was scared. I made sure to get the second row seat behind the emergency exit door. I chose my seat specifically there so that if the plane went down, somebody would push the door open, and it wouldn't be me, because I'm not sitting right next to it. I'm sitting in the row behind it, and then I'll be able to just be the first one out, the second, third one out. Like, plan that all out.
Genius, girl. You're a genius.
I thought about it entirely, and it was because I suffer from anxiety. So I found my triggers and how to prevent them, and so I'm letting people know that they could do the same thing.
So there are, in this. Do you don't call it a zine anymore, do you?
You know what? At this point, right now, what's happening is that it's going to be a magazine. It's going to be a full-blown magazine. We're doing Khadisha James style from Living Single. And, and yeah, we're doing it right. The next endeavor is creating the website. And after the website comes out, next year I want to drop the first official magazine and have it in actual magazine print and layout and texture and everything. And I want to invite everyone to be a writer on it, to be a part of it. It's for us.
So is this one by you?
Yes.
Traveling, will you read just the, will you read these and then give us a little?
This is exactly the story I just told you, in fact, about how I wanted to like be able to jump out and not have to hold the door for anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
I
one
think
of
that's
the
so relatable though, because people don't realize that we all like, you need a, even though these like, we call them irrational fears, like they are, what helped me a lot is learning the difference between things that are possible and things that are probable.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so although it is possible that the plane could go down, mm-hmm. it's not probable.
Yeah.
And so that like helps reduce the anxiety, but because it's possible, you create a contingency plan.
Yeah, exactly. You get backup plans for everything.
So tell us about these traveling with anxiety tips. So it says traveling with anxiety and how to deal with it.
So like a first few tip of them is to prepare for your triggers, know what triggers you, and be ready for them. So like I said, get what makes you comfortable. Packing all the necessities, like very much available on you. I always keep a bag like on my persons at all times, like amongst the, all my other stuff that I have. But in that bag, I have like my oils in there. I have my my incense sticks. I have
crystals if you need it.
Got my crystals everywhere. pens, because I need to write. I need to be able to write. I need to be to have paper, like, because that definitely calms me. And everything's in that bag. And then don't forget to pack the small comforts of home. So things like the blankets or the oils. Cut your caffeine intake, because that is something that
adds to the jitters.
Like, I was drinking an energy drink before we came here and I got jitters right now. But like traveling, that like sets you off, because you don't know, your anxiety is just like wiling out and you're like, what is this? Is this my coffee intake or is this just like actual anxiety? So I would suggest like cutting your coffee intake, taking care of your body. Like, I hydrate constantly, drinking constantly, listening to what your needs are, so actually getting all the sleep you need before you leave the hotel, you know, not just like pressuring yourself, and then just rolling with it. Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, I'm always prepared for something to go wrong. I'm like, something's gonna happen and like I can't fight it, and I'm just gonna have to like roll with the punches and it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And breathing. And then there's like a list of places that I publicly panicked while traveling. One of them is a beautiful Catholic church in Midtown, New York, a coffee shop in Astoria, the New York Public Library, the New York Natural History Museum.
Oh, God.
JFK.
It's like an overall experience that every single person that entered JFK has to have, is some type of anxiety attack.
It was hella daunting. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pick a corner and I'm going to sit down on the floor and I'm going to get it together.
Yeah.
The Megabus restroom. I like was standing on top. I closed the toilet and I stood on top of the toilet seat and I was like kind of rocking back and forth. And then the top of the toilet seat cracked.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, okay, I'm back. I like brought me out of my anxiety attack. Like, okay, I can go back to my seat now. I'm good now.
Yeah.
And then Chicago's Union Station. I got to Chicago and I took an 8-hour bus from New York to Chicago. An 18-hour bus from
18
New York.
Hours?
18 hours from New York to Chicago. And by the time I got to Chicago, I was like, I need to go home. I need to get the fuck out of here. What have I done? I need to stay here in Chicago for 4 more days. I stood with strangers I had never met. And it all worked out.
Man, is that kind of like a general conclusion that you come to about most of your trips, though? Is that like it all works out?
I definitely, at the end of the day, it's that I'm trusting the universe, that I'm trusting that I'm putting my intentions and manifesting these things, and the universe is going to have my back no matter what. And like, I don't know, like I went to New York with limited funds. And when I got to New York, my father called me and was like, if you need money, we'll transfer you money. And I was like, backup plan, like the universe has me. I went to New York and I didn't know where I was gonna stay. Like I don't know what I had planned. And then a friend that I hadn't seen since first grade was like, hey, you're coming to New York? You should stay with me. And I was like, oh, cool, taken care of. Like, I just trust the universe. My first time traveling solo, I went to Portland on the Amtrak and it was a 30-hour train ride. And I went with literally nowhere to stay. Like, I had no intent. I was gonna stay in a hotel, in a hospital emergency room if I had to. Like, that was my plan. And my cousin called and was like, nah, no, you're not. That was my plan. And then the universe was like, that's not gonna happen. My cousin said that's not gonna happen. And it got funded and I got my hotel room.
Girl, so okay, how old are you?
I am 27.
And when did this wanderlust begin for you?
2014, I decided to start traveling alone. But like, I needed to. I was getting out of a toxic relationship and I was just like, okay, you know what? I just need to like bolt and get out into the world. And so I bought this train ticket to Portland and I just went, and it was totally scary. I lied to my parents because my parents would never understand me traveling by myself at like 22 years old.
Yeah.
They would never get that. And that's another thing. Like, we come from a culture that doesn't believe that we could do these things, but why? Why?
It's because you're not a man. It's like, it's like machismo wrapped around like this religious protection of girls and women. Like, there's no autonomy. Like,
yeah.
There's no, like, you don't have say, even though you're a grown-ass woman, like, you don't have say over what you do, or because the world is too scary and you're too fragile.
Yeah, as an adult, like, I'm an adult, and my parents still, like, call me when you get home, call me, you know, because they're scared for me to be in this world, and I totally get that. But, like, and it's a fear they instill in us.
But there's a fear of the world that they have for you that they might not have for maybe if you have a brother.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. It's a double standard entirely. Because nobody worries about my cousins when they take midnight trips to Vegas by themselves.
Phone needs to cool down. Anyways. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that's, like, such a an important thing to talk about. Like, I want to know, you know, when... What was it that made you want to travel alone? Like, had you traveled with people?
Oh, yeah. I definitely did, like, a little traveling here and there. I went, like, to Yosemite. I did a lot of camping or whatever, road trips with, like, a few close friends. And that was nice. That kind of, like, got me outside of Los Angeles, L.A. County, because I had never really experienced getting far out of L.A. County before. I had met friends from, like, the Palisades, you know? And they were like, oh, yeah, let's go to Joshua Tree, or let's go to Yosemite or Morro Bay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Let's go do these things. And so definitely got me, like, in the mood for getting out and seeing new things. And then the whole, like, leaving the toxic relationship, I was like, okay, chingona, you did that. No, let's go travel by ourselves, because, like, that's the next step, is just moving and doing things and showing, proving to yourself that you're totally okay. And I needed that. And I went out there into the world, and I proved to myself that it was totally fine. And, like, I would find these affirmations, like, you know, things just falling together and things just working out. And it was like the universe was telling me, this is meant for you. We're always going to be here for you. It's going to be okay. We believe in you. Just go. And I've always just stuck by that belief. And, like, I think that that strong belief has gotten me this far, like, and it's going to take me further.
Mm. That's so real. That's so inspiring. Ashley.
Stop. Let me go, no.
So I think, like, okay, so how important is traveling to one's spiritual self-love journey?
Well, you see, for me, it's entirely about self-love. For me, this is, like, I'm a very loving and, like, caring person, and I will give and give and give till I have nothing left to give. And, like, traveling by myself was the first thing that I was like, I'm giving to myself. I'm taking care of myself. And when I'm out there in the world, hundreds of miles away from everything that I know, I don't know anything to anybody. And, like, it's a total selfish move, but, like, it's the most self-loving act, like I could ever do for myself. And I thrive on it. And I don't know if that's true for every other woman, but it is for a lot. And I'm seeing that. I realize that now, once I started this community of brown girls who travel, and all these people started reaching out to me, and they're like, yes, this is the same thing that I need. This is what I thrive on. And we're relating on so many, like, degrees. And it's like, we've never had this community before. And it's so great to be able to see a reflection of ourselves and others. And I think that's a lot of another form of, like, self-love, is, like, realizing that you're not alone in this desire. So I mean, like, I love my community of brown girls that I've found, and like, seeing their stories and being in part of this, like, movement together has inspired me on so many. Like, one of my writers that I met through the book, Kelly Duarte, she recently went to Italy, and she went by herself entirely. And she says that, you know, the book is kind of inspired her, but, like, she went to a whole other country. I've never done solo by myself. That's totally inspiring to me. And it's like, okay, baby girl, I see what you're doing. Like, I see, and I'm ready to do that too.
Yeah. All right. What are the top places you want to visit?
Ooh, okay. I want to go to Spain. I've been, like, feeling Spain in my bones. I need to. There's something about that, though. Yeah, the colonizers' land. Like,
colonizers.
Yeah, no, there's something extremely, like, I want to go. I want to see what it was. Like, I need, like, it's in my blood. Somewhere deep down, it's in my fucking blood. Like, and I want to face that identity. It's definitely weird. Obviously, I want to go to the motherland, and I have family in Mexico that are always telling me to come out, but
I'll go with you.
Yeah, let's go. Hey,
I got my dad's ashes, and it was his dream for me to leave his ashes at the Pyramid of the Sun. And so I, like, have been wanting to do that, but I have all of those anxious, irrational fears of, like, And then also I'm like really sensitive to other people's energy, so I'm like, I'm really picky about who I want to go with, but also I'm scared to go alone. So it's like, okay bitch, which one do you want to do? You want to be picky about who? You're just making excuses at this point.
it's hard. And like my friend was telling me that she went to New Orleans with a group of friends, and like she had a bad experience because they said it was going to be one thing and they got to New Orleans and it was another thing. And so it's really scary when you're traveling with people because they bring a lot. I'm the same way. I cannot deal with, at some point I've decided I'm not going to deal with energy that I don't want to deal with. Like, I'm just going to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that when you're traveling with somebody. Yeah. Like, you can't just walk away from them.
Grandma's house.
Exactly. So like, I'm very selective about who I travel with, but I do want to start creating brown girl travel, like field trips.
Oh my God. Yes. If you did that, I'll be the first one signing up.
Yeah. My aunt has a cabin in Big Bear, and I was thinking a
retreat,
creating a retreat.
Girl, yeah. Do a writing workshop.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking of bringing people in and like making it a whole day thing, like a three-day, four-day thing. And like today we're doing workshops. Today we're doing this. Today you can go out and do whatever you want. Like.
And this is an example of why we are Mija's Making Moves.
Yeah.
It's all about that collab. Like, talk a little bit about how the collaboration with all these women made this into what it is, as opposed to it just being your own experience.
Oh my God. Well, the cover, for instance, Bianca Misa is a friend of mine now, but I met her through the book. She had like submitted photographs that she wanted to share, and I had saw her work and I was like, wow, you know, your work is beautiful. I really want to see if you could help me with this logo. And like,
somebody who hasn't seen the logo, can you like verbally explain what it is?
Yes, it is a marigold. It's as half the world, and the bottom half is the world, and it's dripping, almost graffiti like style. It's got a ribbon around it. It says Brown Girl Travels. And around the whole thing is a little airplane. We have flowers, leaves, hearts, a little bag, a little mochila, little sunflower here.
And this, excuse me, this, iTunes, ooh, needs your attention.
Oh.
Okay, iTunes.
Okay. Well,
very dramatic.
Hey, I know.
Yeah, Dion, please cut that out. But in this, the text, is this your writing?
No, it's Bianca's.
Because this like style of font is so nostalgic for me.
Yeah,
like so nostalgic, because that's how I used to write in high school. Like, that was, it's just like it's really hard to explain. You'd have to see it, but it says Brown Girl Travels, and like the font is just very like
kind of old English almost.
It's, yeah, there's like an,
not old English,
yeah,
no,
there's
but like
of it.
Old school,
it,
yeah,
it's definitely nostalgic for me, and so I see that automatically and I just like grasp to it, identify with it.
Yeah, that I think that was like a big thing for me, that I wanted people to identify with it. And like, that's a style that I grew up with in like in my neighborhoods, you know. All the guys were like that, all the girls were like that, like, mm-hmm. It was a thing, like I tried to write like that, but I couldn't exactly do it. It was upsetting.
You're so mad about it.
My writing's not cute, don't look. But I wanted it to feel like home when people looked at it. So that's why on the stickers, when we upgraded the logo, I wanted her to include the three little stars as a little like homage, a little touchdown to like where I come from. Mm. And then also the Harry Potter series, because she got three little stars in the corners of all the pages. I'm like, Harry Potter is my shit.
That is my shit too. I'm gonna tell you something really amazing right now. So when I was younger, I was never really great at reading because I have like a processing disorder, so I wish I would have discovered audiobooks like then.
Yeah.
But I don't know, whatever got into me about Harry Potter, I read that shit like it was going out of style, right?
Oh, God.
So my mom saw what that did for me, and my mom was like, oh my God, I've never seen her so interested in something.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And so she wrote to J.K. Rowling, and she wrote back.
What? Yes. Oh my God, your mom is an angel.
My mom wrote to J.K. Rowling because she saw her on like Dateline or something, and she was like, saw her story, and my mom could relate to her story because, you know, she's like, she was like a single mother, and she comes from poverty. She was like homeless at one point, right, or something like that. And then she just like created this whole empire based on her imagination, and my mom's really imaginative like that too. So I think she just really identified with her, and my mom told her a little bit about her story, how she's a heroin addict, and, you know, she struggled being a single mom, and J.K. Rowling wrote back, dude. My mom still to this day has the letter inside of a first edition Harry Potter book.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's remarkable. Yo, shout out to your mom for being like your number one supporter. I was like dying when you said that she reached out to like what, who, Ryan Seacrest?
Cardi B.
Cardi B, like what? My mom don't do that for me. Like,
she be DMing him and she's so serious. She's like, somebody's gonna see one of these DMs one day. She's so serious about Ellen.
Yeah.
Like, finally get on the Ellen show. Tell her we've been trying to put her on for a long time. But
girl, I see you on the Ellen show. I see your mama right there in the crowd too. She could be waving at her. Come here, mama. Come here. Come on to stage.
All right, man. That's just like, yeah, I love that lady. That lady is, she's one of a kind. Like,
yeah.
One of a kind. That's it. There's not anyone like her in this world. What's your relationship like with your mom?
I have a really great relationship with my mom. In the beginning, in like middle school, high school. Well, she didn't understand it at first, definitely. And like I said, we were having a rough relationship when I was younger, and I grew up, and after high school, it, like, that entirely changed, but she was still very, like, you can't go far from home, like, protective over me, mm-hmm. and we came to, like, a middle ground on that, and that was probably me lying to her about traveling. mm-hmm. So, like, when the book came out, she found out for the first time that I went to these places alone, and to my amazement, she was like, Ashley Marie Garcia, what is wrong with you? Like, oh, but you're okay. And I was like, oh, I thought you were gonna have a whole breakdown about it. And she was like, well, you're okay now, and I'm so happy. But, like, she was worried but proud. She was so proud, and like, I was so happy to see her react this way, and like telling people, oh well, my daughter does this and my daughter goes here, and she did it all by herself and she doesn't need to wait for nobody. And like,
yeah.
My mom will boast that she is amazing. I love my mother, but like, oh god, it was just, it's really hard for her to deal with me traveling even now. Like, if I say I want to go somewhere, she wants me to say that I'm going with my boyfriend, or my boyfriend is coming with me, or someone is coming with me, and that like I'm not gonna be alone. And so
there's this element of fear that I have found my mom has, and in down to like letting Fred go outside.
Yeah,
like she's like, she actually has like a visceral reaction to be like, where is he at? Where are you? Are you okay?
Oh my god.
Like, because she connects Fred. She knows how much the cat means to me.
Yes.
And so she's like, she loves the cat also.
Yeah.
She's more concerned about how I will react if anything happens to Fred.
Yeah.
And I see that and I'm like, it's annoying that she just like can't let the damn cat go outside without
but
waking
no.
up. But I see why. And I'm like, oh, she loves me that much that she knows that I would literally be a fucking mess if Fred, anything happened to Fred. So she's scared for me in advance.
That is the cutest thing. And I totally get, I get that 100 because I have a cat named Umo, and like, I love my cat. He is my everything. And like, if I go out on trips, like my mom is always concerned. He doesn't take well to new people. Like, well, we always leave my cat at my parents' house when we travel. And so he doesn't take well to new environments. And so when he's there, sometimes he doesn't eat the same because he's nervous, and she's so concerned. And Umo didn't come out today. Or like, I had to like get really close to him and pet him a little bit. I was like, wow, mom, like, she's more patient with the cat than she was with me growing up. And I'm just like, wow. But I could see her because she cares. Like you said, it's like a part of you, and she cares for you. So she cares equally the same for the cat. Like, it's actually those little small little things that like my mom does. She's not very emotional, you know? So it's like in those small ways that I see her love for me. And like, I love it. And I think that I take a lot from her because like I'm a very emotional and sensitive person, but I'm also not. And so I try to show love in small ways and just gestures and things that I do and the little extra, because she that's what she taught me.
Yeah. You brought with you an item because I asked you to bring an item. I like to ask people to bring something with them that's like sentimental to them in some way, an object. And if the object is too big, they can take a picture of it and just show it to me, because I find sometimes that when I'm talking to people, it's weird. People don't know what to say about themselves, but they have this, something activates in you when you talk about something that you love. And so I usually do it at the beginning, but we just jumped right in. So what is your object and why did you bring it, and how does it help introduce who you are?
Okay, so I brought three notebooks, three of like maybe seven that I have. And so I'm the type of person that is not very good about starting something and finishing it. I've always been really horrible at that. I will start a project and then just kind of like move on to the next thing. And at some point I wanted to stop doing that. So when I created Brown Girl Travels, and I think this was the first notebook, all of these are just ideas. All of these were just like, this was the bit, like this was the layout that I drew out for this book, you know? And it was just like, it was just,
this became this,
yeah. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be the quilt page, this is gonna be the intro page. Like, I'm a very visual person, everything needed to be drawn out, shirt designs, like dumb little things, like every, and so like, I've always been good about starting to write things out and then not getting to it.
None of this is done.
Most of it, all of this is, all of this is created into things now.
Yes.
And this is the first time, like, in my lifespan that I've turned, like, notebooks into realities.
Mm.
And so it's like, I've always had notebooks. I have notebooks from the whole past 27 years of my life, but it's these 7 notebooks specifically where I started writing in one day, specifically for Brown Girl Travels, and I've never stopped creating things that I am putting into them. And so that's why I think it's so representative of who I am now. As and like my growth as a person and committing to things, and like, because I have I have so many ideas, and I'm always getting like surges of energy, and I'll start one and then like I'll forget about it, but like every single idea has come to life, and like it just makes me so proud.
Wow, that makes me so proud.
Yeah.
Because I'm also a person that's like that, like, yeah. I struggle with finishing things, but I mean, how can you talk a little bit about how writing something down changes an idea from just a thought into, like, how does that, how does it get from?
It's manifestation. Like, I'm not just thinking about it or talking about it. I'm writing it down and I'm making it, I'm putting it onto something physical and I'm looking at it. Sometimes I'm tearing things off and putting them, like, my laptop has little post-its. I have post-its everywhere. And once I start, like, it's looking at me every day and all the time, it just happens. The manifestation, like, all comes together. And then also I think it's very inspiring for me to, like, be able to look at all these images and be like, okay, this is how this works, and this is what this is gonna be like now. What's the next step? Like, I love steps.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the thing. If you take something that's really complicated and you break it down,
yes,
into one thing. Like, for me, it's been like one thing I can do. There have been days where I've only had enough energy to, I knew that I had only enough energy to get one thing done, and you best believe I didn't spend that one thing on no bullshit.
Yeah.
I went to get my business license. That was the one thing I did that day, and then I went back to bed and I fucking slept because I was so depressed. I was so low energy. I was like in the midst of my detox.
Yes.
But I was like, you know what? I no longer am going to waste time on shit that does not help me become who I want to be.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so happy you said that too, because like, that's exactly what it is. A lot of it was like, I'm writing things down. I'm like, oh, this doesn't mean anything. But I would do things little by little every day. And then a year later, I was like, oh, all those little things that I did when I couldn't do much, but I just did what I could, they added up to something, and now they became something great and grand. And like, I could look back at it and be proud. Mm-hmm. And so like, even in the midst of writing the first notebook, I was like, let's see how much of this I actually do. Let's see. And then like, it became like, I'm writing down notes on people, and like, I'm interviewing people, and like, I'm planning photo shoots, and then boom, 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 you know, mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
You know, even the first day, the day we met, we went to your job, and you were at work, but you had these like pictures of samples that you wanted to get made for like makeup bags. And I just identified with you so much, because I was like, this bitch is a hustler.
Yeah.
I know you, and I don't even need to know you. So like, tell us a little bit about that. You want to make merch? What is it that you're working on?
The merch actually just came in like 2-3 days ago. Those bags that I had you looking at and helping me, like, they manifested into something. And you see, that's exactly the thing. Like, I felt like I was doing nothing for so long. I felt like I was being stagnant, just like printing out pictures and daydreaming. But then all of a sudden, two months later, the bags are a reality and they're in my house now.
Oh,
and they're like,
hey.
Really cute. And I'm super excited. I'm going to be releasing them very soon. I'm like, there's only 24 of them. So it's like, how do I do this? And this is all very new to me, so it's like marketing and separation, and I want to keep 10 of them for events, and I want to do photo shoots with them, and but like, people already want them, and it's already kind of cool. Like, I'm like, should I just sell them out? Like,
I'm your first customer, girl. Just like, you was one of my first customers.
Yes.
One of yours. Like, and like, if there's anything that I can do to help you, anything, like, just let me know, because that's what it has to be. Like, no one is an island, and we can all, like, you could figure it out by yourself, but why would you spend all that time if there's somebody who you can just be like, hey man, how did you figure out shipping? Because this shit don't make no sense.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, look, let me tell you what I did, and this is how I do it. You could do it another way, but I'm gonna give you that like, there's no point in, because every time somebody figures something out, it should mean that nobody else has to.
Exactly. And I think that's a lot of like the community work that we're kind of doing, and we don't even realize that we're doing a lot of the times, because I like you share your process the whole way through, and I like I've told you multiple times today, I appreciate that, because I do the same thing, and I'll try to share my process. Like, I created a website, and I mean, I'm working on creating a website, but like even just connecting my domain name to the website, like
fucking accomplishment.
It was a whole thing. I didn't know what to do. Somebody walked me through the process, but shout out to Tech Angel, Ash, thank you so much. Like, she walked me through the whole process, and I reached out to her, or no, she reached out to me and was like, if you ever need help, like, let me know. Like, I'm good at tech stuff, and you know, and she helped me with that. So like, I shared that process so that, like you said, somebody else doesn't have to go through that whole disaster of a thing again. Like, it was, yeah. It was a lot. Like, I wish they taught us this. And so it's important that, like, us as entrepreneurs in our community to be sharing the resources and knowledge that we have. And like, that's a lot of what I do is share resources. Yeah. So, like, you saw me at my job with those printouts.
Yeah.
I printed those bitches out of my job.
You gotta use what you got available to you.
Exactly. And, you know, I use what I can. And, like, a lot of the stuff that, in fact, the little kids things that I was telling you about, the little travel packages for children that I'm going to be creating, like, all those resources are coming from my job.
That's so great to inspire, like, to inspire this wanderlust at a young age.
Yes.
To let them know that this is accessible to them too. It's not just people who go on luxury cruises or fucking what the fuck ever. Like,
yeah.
This is available to you because it's available to everyone. And,
yeah.
And that's something that I just didn't know.
Exactly.
I always looked at traveling like it was a rich person's game.
Yeah, you see it on like sitcom shows or like, I saw it a lot on TV. Like, that's where I saw traveling on TV, and it was never anyone that looked like me. And that was like a big thing, that they never looked like me. And so like, when I got all these pictures for the girls to submit in these stories, it was everything to me, because I saw myself in their pictures. That's what I hope people get from Brown Girl Travels, is that when they read these stories, when they see you go to the events or anything, they see a reflection of themselves and realize that they can be part of this community in this world too. Like,
ooh, girl, drop the mic.
Yes.
That was a great video. Well, I thank you for coming here, and I thank you for talking to me, because it's like, you know, it's not every day that you find kind of like a kindred spirit, you know, and I can just see that in you, that you have this just love that you add into everything you do, that it's just like a thread kind of that combines all of your projects, you know, it just ties them all together. And so where do you see yourself, what is your, like, let's do some manifestation right now. Like, let's visualize.
Let's go.
Like, let's say the biggest accomplishment that that you see for yourself.
Wow. Okay. I mean, obviously, I want to create the whole magazine business, and I would like that to be an ongoing thing. But I think that something that's really big goal for Brown Girl Travels that I'm looking forward to doing is creating I've never said this out loud to anyone else besides like my family or my boyfriend, but I want to create a documentary, and I want it to be us telling our story. So like, I want to 5-10 girls to be a part of this, and I want to go out to them and record myself going out to them, and then hand them the camera over and let them tell their story, and they go out into the world. And
woo, I got chills.
Oh god, yeah.
Netflix,
and yeah. Hey,
Netflix,
at Netflix, where you at? Give me the funds, because at the end of the day, that's all I need is the funds.
Yeah, like that. That's what's so dope about the content, us as content creators and just like creators in general, is like, y'all don't even know, we've been creating content in our minds for years.
This whole ass time, this didn't just start. Yeah, this didn't just happen from one day to the next. We've been creators since the beginning. Like, and I think that it's so great that we get to nourish our creative sides now, because like, growing up, my dad has always been supportive, but it's like, you need to go to school, and you need to go to college, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to get a good job, and then get health insurance. And it's like, but wait. No. And like, the funny thing is that like, as he's always been that way, he sees me doing this whole Brown Girl Travels, and he's so supportive.
Yeah.
He's so supportive. Like, I mean, he gave me the money that helped me like pay for printing and stuff like that. He was like, why don't you just say you need money? And I was like, I didn't think you would just hand out me money for some dumb shit. And he was like, yeah, you're creating a business. And I was like, okay, I didn't know you looked at me like that. Yeah. Like, and I don't know, it was really good. My parents surprised me with their support. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to making Brown Girls a bigger movement and taking it further than just the little office space I have in my apartment.
Girl, it's gonna be huge. And like, you know, I showed you I showed you that poem from Quetzali, and you know, I think it's interesting that this, how old is Mia?
She's 7 now.
Okay. So there's something about this age that just keeps popping up for me. And I don't know if that's the age maybe where I began to, like my genius was taken away or just kind of my light was dimmed. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure that out. But this age keeps popping up for me, this 7 and 8.
Yeah.
And so I want to know, what would you say to 7/8-year-old Ashley?
7/8-year-old Ashley needs to know that she needs to never stop looking at the light. Never stop thinking of the possibilities. I remember being really young and like just having all these like hopes and desires and like ideas of things that I would do, and like at some point your light is diminished and then you start looking away and you start thinking of life differently. And 7 or 8-year-old Ashley needs to know that she wasn't wrong. She was on the right path the whole ass time. And like, she knew more than I know now. And like, in fact, that's what my whole adulthood now is, getting back the innocence and the whole essence of 7 or 8-year-old Ashley, because baby girl, she was the light, you know? And like, I know that my light is strong and I don't ever doubt that now, but like, I'm definitely sad for past Ashley and all the things that she went through and all the things that dimmed her out. And like, I wish that I never dimmed my light for anyone. And I wish I could have said that to 7 or 8-year-old Ashley.
Yeah, but you're burning bright as hell now.
You know.
You sure are. And I just like, I appreciate you so much for coming all the way out here to talk to me. And if there's anything you want to ask me, feel free to. If you have any like questions about, we're on the same level when it comes to like creating, like being new to like starting this.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that I know that I don't even know people need to know. So like, if you ever have a question and you're like, Angie might know, shit, ask me. I'll answer. I'll be like, you know what? And if I don't know, I'll help you find out.
Like, maybe I know someone else that knows. Yeah.
I just want to always offer myself, not only to you, but to everyone listening. Like, my DMs are for sure open, and all of the people who have been following me forever know that. Like, you go on my DMs, there's some real shit happening. Like, there's some real life. People will come to me with, like, crazy-ass problems, and I'm like, fuck. Like, but if this person felt that they could say these things to me, and like, if that must mean they don't have nowhere else, and so I will craft a response. Like, I sit there for a second and think, like, my mom was looking at me last night like, are you watching this? I'm like, no. He's like, what are you thinking about? I'm like, I'm helping somebody with a problem. And he's like, what are you, Oprah? I'm like, babe, about what I say back. It's like,
it's a lot. And like, I've kind of realized too that now that I have created Brown Girls, people will reach out to you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't ever want to be the person that like turns people away. And so like, yeah, you really put a lot into like what you say to these people. Mm-hmm. And like, girl, don't forget to love yourself though, you know? You take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Self-love all day, every day.
All day, every day. Like, it's like, I just posted yesterday that like, so yesterday I started my fitness challenge with this gym in Pasadena called Elevate. And I feel like this is the first time in my life where I'm attempting this whole journey for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
and not for the wrong ones, which for the longest time was just because I hated myself and I hated what I looked like. But all these 30 pounds that I've gained this summer, like, I loved every single fucking one.
Yeah.
Like, I had all that weight.
I enjoyed every bit of it.
Every single moment, every In-N-Out burger, every taco.
Yes.
Every
pasta,
like, every, like, extra pazuki.
Girl, those are bomb. I'm trying to go get one tomorrow, matter of fact.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. And so the first time, for the first time, I'm like starting this journey, but in a really clear space and a very like, oh, this is part of the self-love. Like, the whole phase one was like spoiling myself so I can like, you know, go through the details.
Yes, I get
and,
that.
And like being like, learning how to like being alone and like being like, oh, well, I could take myself on a date. Why am I waiting for anybody to take me anywhere?
Yes.
Like, I can go buy myself whatever I want. I can go take myself and eat anything I want. I could go sit at the beach and bring wine and music and just chill. That's what it was about for me, like enjoying and like savoring life. And now it's like, okay, well, now I'm tired all day.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem for me, because if I want to be a business owner, if I want to be an entrepreneur, I need energy to complete the tasks that are required for the job.
Exactly.
And so it's more about that for me now than it is about like the way I'm gonna look, because I like wearing big t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, that's not gonna stop. I'm not gonna, you ain't gonna see me in a, maybe you will, shit. I don't you mean, this is like, this is how I look.
Yeah.
I dress, so it's not really about that. Although, who doesn't wanna, you know, feel like their clothes fit? I'm gonna have to go buy all new clothes now. None of my pants fit me, but it's like a funny thing. It's like, I put in my work this summer. Like, I put in work.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm cool with wearing little stretchy pants until I don't have to anymore, but I'm not gonna go buy new clothes because I don't, it's like money now that I've started a business is such, has such a different function.
Yes.
Ugh. It has such a different function because it's like, my money is no longer reserved for fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I could buy shipping labels, I could buy packaging, I could buy a program, I could buy the Adobe program that I want for my computer. Like, I'm not fucking around anymore. Like, every clothes that I buy at a thrift store.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have time.
Same. It's crazy. Yeah, like you said, like, I don't know, I spent like $10 on a domain name, and it was like, I spent $10 on a fucking Lyft ride. Like, I got a whole domain name for a whole ass website. Like,
yeah.
And that was like a big thing for me, you know, and it was just $10. Like, you just gotta invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Looking at money is totally different now. I totally agree. But wow. Distracted. Yes.
I smoked a little before I came. I mean, I hit my pen.
Yes. I'm all about it.
But like, this can always be edited if the combo like falls off.
No, thank
Dion
you.
Dion got us, dude. Shout out Dion.
Shout out to Dion. Thank you for editing out my stupidity. But no, I totally get what you're saying, like, changing your perspective in terms of, like, your health and your care, because that's what it is. Like, a lot of the times when I was younger, I hated myself, and I didn't like anything about myself, and it was like, these things need to change because I hate myself. But no. It's because I love myself that I want to change certain things, and I'm realizing that those, even the things that I want to change have changed now that I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like, it's like you're exhausted all the time, so it's like, what does your body need? Like, what is my body telling me right now? And it's like listening to those and taking like, that's a priority now. So like, even at work, I made it a point to not be like a people pleaser anymore and be like, yo, I need to not come in today because I'm having a mental like health day, and this is important to me, and I don't care what you think of it as. I'm not gonna lie to you and say I have a headache and then feel some anxiety about it and then give myself an actual headache. Like,
that's real.
So like, and it's because I love myself and care about myself now that like I'm able to do these things, and like eating healthier, like I love myself. I'm gonna feed myself better things and put better things into my body, not because I feel I need to lose weight, but because
because it's nourishment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's all perspective, I'm realizing, and growing, like, to learn, and it's really nice.
It took me a while to figure out that there's a direct correlation between what you put in your body and how your body performs for you.
Yes. Oh my God. Because, like, even after I started eating a little bit better, and it was only like a month or even a few weeks into that, I was like, oh my God, my body feels so different. Like, I'm not eating all this junk and it's not weighing me down anymore. I feel all these energy levels. Like, I was totally blown away. And it's like, my body's been asking for this whole ass time and I haven't been listening.
Yeah.
And like, just doing things out of like anxiety needs or depression needs. And like, because that's what a lot of it is that I get depressed or I'm having a mood, and then
you
I'll
need
go,
to self-food
yeah.
with food, yeah.
And I'll just like, I'll binge a Netflix like marathon and like just eat and eat and eat, and it's comforting. But like, I'm finding other things that are comforting now to me, and like also help my body's needs.
Yeah, eating is not a coping mechanism.
Yeah, no, it's not. And, like, I think it's really hard because, like... And
neither is working out, though.
No, yeah, not all the time.
Like, I feel like because people who choose to... Because working out is a supplemental coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's not, it cannot be the only one.
Yes.
Because then it becomes this obsessive thing. And it's like, yes, there are people, like my boyfriend, he runs to clear his head, and it works every time for him. Like, he really comes back in a better mood. But there's also a level of conversation that happens to process. It's not just the workout. It, like, that eating is fun, and it tastes good, and it can be really nourishing to your body. But it, there's, like, doing one thing alone to, like, you have to diversify when it comes to taking care of
yourself. Yes, like, that is so important. Yes.
And, like, yes, I have my little, you know, my thing that I like to eat that's, like, my comfort food. But
yeah.
Then I also have a therapist.
Exactly.
And I also, you know, like, it can't just be one thing.
Yes.
And that's really important. Like, the diversification of self-care is really important. It's, like, some people think that self-care is, like, it's, like, oh, well, doing whatever you want to do. It's, like, yeah, okay, cool. For me, it was shopping for a while. That shit was not healthy for me because then I didn't have money to fucking pay my cell phone bill.
Yeah.
So it was, like, okay, yeah, I went and did whatever I wanted because I deserved it. It's, like... Well, you deserved it. Why? Because something bad happened, and then you deserve to spend the money that you're supposed to pay for your cell phone bill.
And like, now you're stressed out over something else.
It's like
it's a cycle.
Yeah, that's so real.
God, I'm so happy you said that, though, because, like, you definitely need different, like, streams of, like, self-coping mechanisms and, like, things that you could go to and look to and to help you feel not just comforted but whole, like, well-rounded, you know. And I think that, like, we were never taught that at a young age, and it's important that, like, we constantly... share that, you know, and we're in a platform and now in our lives that we can share, and, like, it's just so exciting. And God, you're so amazing.
You're so amazing.
Like,
my dad, like, it just comes to my mind because he would always say, you know, the only way to keep what I have gained, the spiritual principles that I know to be true today, is to give them away to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that that's what you and I are both doing with our platforms.
It's
like we're both taking the things that we have learned, and we're sharing them with anyone who will listen, and especially people who, like, feel that they are not being represented. And so I really, really thank you for your project. Brown Girl Travels is going to be an empire.
Yeah.
I have that kind of foresight, so I can just tell you that you're going to be, like, just outrageously successful as long as you stick to who you are, because that's the money.
Yes.
There's so much magic in authenticity, and there's just so much there's so much success waiting for you that I hope you're ready.
Girl. I'll be ready in, like, a year or two. We still building. We still growing. And you know what? Like, it's okay. I'm learning that. And I know that. Like, but, like, it's coming. Y'all be ready.
And to end, I want to give you, mine is not wrapped all pretty like yours, but I want to give some stickers.
Thank you.
Because you are definitely a
Mija
making moves.
Mija making moves, making moves.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Millennial Mija podcast. Thank you so much, Ashley, for being with us. We love you, we love you, we love you. Can you tell us where we can find you on Instagram and your website?
All right. Well, the website is still in the making, so you could follow me at Brown Girl Travels, brown.girl.travels. And stay tuned for the website that's going to be coming out. Going to be doing a launch party, going to be releasing merch, going to be having events, looking for a self-defense teacher. So DM me if you are one and you want to help. And come vibe with me, yo.
We love you.